teacher, they asked, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to take place?
Then he said, watch out that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time is near. Don't follow them. When you hear of wars and rebellions, don't be alarmed. Indeed, it is necessary that these things take place first, but the end won't come right away.
Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven.
But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to bear witness.
But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves. For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. All men will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. By standing firm, you will gain life.
When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then recognize that its desolation has come near. Then those in Judea must flee to the mountains. Those inside the city must leave it. And those who are in the country must not enter it, because these are days of vengeance to fulfill all the things that are written.
How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. There will be great distress in the land and wrath against this people. They will fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners to all the nations. Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled.
Then there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars, and there will be anguish on the earth among nations, bewildered by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and expectation of the things that are coming on the world, because the powers of the heavens will be shaken.
At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near.
Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they put out leaves, you can see for yourselves and recognize that summer is already near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, recognize that the kingdom of God is near.
Tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away.
Be on your guard so that your minds are not dulled from something.
Dissipation,
drunkenness, and worries of life, or that day will come to you unexpectedly like a trap, for it will come on all who live on the face of the whole earth.
Be always on the watch, and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man.
During the day, he was teaching in the temple, but in the evening, he would go out and spend the night on what is called the Mount of Olives.
And all the people came early in the morning to hear him at the temple.
Amen indeed, and thank you for reading God's word to us. Do keep that open in front of you. It's our practice to study a little bit of God's word together each Sunday evening, indeed each Sunday morning as well, but each Sunday service. And we're going to do that now and just read again our way through these warnings, because we've been advised that warnings need to be heeded. And this is what we find the Lord Jesus doing at this point in the Easter account. But as we begin, I want us just to pray briefly. This prayer, one written by Calvin, used before the service. Let us call upon our God and Father, beseeching him, since all fullness of wisdom and light is found in him, beseeching him mercifully to enlighten us by his Holy Spirit in the true understanding of his word, and to give us grace to receive it with true fear and humility. May we be taught by his word to place our trust only in him and to serve and honour him as we ought, so that we may glorify his holy name in all our living and edify our neighbour by our good example. rendering to God, giving to God the love and the obedience which faithful servants owe their masters and children their parents, since it has pleased him graciously to receive us among the number of his servants and children. Amen. So as we discover, Luke is also recording for us warnings. And as we read through Luke's account for Easter here at Trinity, we need to take on board what it is that Luke saw fit to record, the Lord Jesus saw fit to teach. The Lord Jesus, and we did some of this morning, is talking to the crowd, and the crowd has got some people who oppose him and some people who are following him. It's a mixed group of people. Jesus has explained to this crowd about true and false religion. We looked at this morning. And by religion, I mean answering the question, how do we get to spend eternity after this life is done with God in heaven rather than anywhere else? That's the question that religion answers. And I know that might actually raise an awful lot of questions in the modern mind today. You know, let's start with, is there a God? Let's start with, is there something afterwards? But we have to understand the context of what's here. The context of what's here is people back then believed there was a God. And they were looking for a way to meet with him and certainly to be secure and understand what would happen when this life ended and they went on to the next. So let us for a moment, if you don't, assume that these things are true and just ask yourself, if there is something after this life, if there is, what would you want it to be? Wouldn't you want it to be what we commonly call heaven, where all that is wrong has been properly, justly dealt with? All the sin and the trouble and the strife and the evil has been judged and found to be sin and trouble and strife and evil, and in some way dealt with. Don't worry about the how for a moment, but some way it needs to be dealt with, doesn't it? And then the other thing that you really want in this future, the other side of death, this future life, is the sure and certainty that all that sin and trouble and strife and evil can't get back in. Because otherwise that heaven stops being what we commonly call heaven, doesn't it? So they're the two things we need, and they're the two things that people back then were looking for, and they believed you would find if you were a follower of God. So we have to understand, what has the Lord Jesus been saying? He's been saying that there's a certain way to get to God. He's been saying you can't do it in your own strength, you can't do it with your own money, you can't do it with your own power. You need to do it because of Jesus' love for you and your loving response. Jesus has been explaining how these people can have that happily ever after, to use that really quite banal phrase. They can live in heaven with God, which is so much more glorious and so much more wonderful than happily ever after. So, how do we get in? Well, Jesus has been saying this: you follow God's rules. That makes sense, really. If it's God's home and it's his place and he keeps it in this perfect state, we follow his rules. If you go to somebody's house, you follow their rules, don't you? If there are shoes off at the door sort of a place, you take your shoes off at the door. Or perhaps you ask special permission not to for some reason. But if there are no dogs upstairs house, you keep your dog downstairs, don't you? And when you go to someone's place, you follow their rules. If you want to go to God's place, heaven, you'd have to follow his rules. And the Lord Jesus has been making that point very clearly. And the rule about God's home, heaven, is that you have to be perfect. Nothing less will do. And the crowd have been saying, oh, let me show you perfect. Let me show you the height of everything we have achieved. This great temple. Great monumental stone building. If you've ever seen a picture of Herod's temple, it was glorious as far as human construction went. But Jesus explained that the temple had become the greatest sign of false religion. So now we have the complete war in front of us. Are we going to do it God's way or are we going to do it man's way? And Jesus says right at the beginning of our passage that, just before the beginning of our passage, that this great temple that you think is so wonderful, but which God says is not the right way, is going to come crashing down and it won't be there. And the people who were listening said, wow, are you serious? When will this happen? I mean, that's what you would say, isn't it? If somebody said to you that Buckingham Palace, the Houses of Parliament, something like that, will fall down, it will be completely destroyed so that not one stone is left standing on another, you'd say, yeah, when? How? And if it was your great sign of democracy in your country, whichever of those fits for you, and if it was the sign that everything that was secure in our country, all of our democracy, all that we cling to, was going to come crashing down, you'd want to know that too, wouldn't you? Because you might want to move out the way. And that's what these people are saying. Well, if you're telling me that all of this is going to come crashing down, when will it happen? And they ask him for a sign so that they'll know. What will be the sign that these things are about to take place? And then in answer to that, great moment of worry, the moment you've got to make your mind up by, because if you stay there and you're wrong, you're on the wrong side. What will be the sign? Will you stay with man's way of doing things, which Jesus says will come crashing down? What will be the sign? We've got to change before then. Will you have changed over to God's side and be following God's way, this love response to the Lord Jesus who first loves you? Will you be on that side? What will be the sign? Don't wait for the sign and change at the last minute. That's not bad. You might miss it. That's not the way to plan. But that's they want to know the sign. And Jesus gives them some warnings. Let's look briefly at those warnings. We're not going to take long. Verse 8 has the first one. Watch out for pretenders. This is not the pop group. I've got one laugh somewhere. This is not the pretenders who make music. This is the pretenders who say, oh, yes, I'm Jesus, I've come back. This is the one who says, I know Jesus will be here tomorrow, next week, next year, 6 months, whatever, put a date on it. There will be people who will try and confuse you and say that. It's a bit like one of those funny emails you get or a scam text message trying to get you to click on the button or send them your details or something like that. They're only after scamming you. These ones are after getting something from you. And Jesus said very clearly, be warned. Don't follow these ones. It'll be obvious when I come is what in effect he's saying. And he'll say that again at the end. That's the picture of the fig tree. Just glance down at the fig tree. Verse 28. As soon as a fig tree puts out leaves, what do you know? Summer's here. What might we say? As soon as the fruit trees blossom, we would say, spring is here. It's not rocket science. It's pretty obvious. That's what we're told. That's what the Lord Jesus says. You don't need to be confused. When I come back, you're going to know it's me. And elsewhere in Scripture, we're told when the Lord Jesus comes back, heaven itself will become visible. The veil between earth and heaven will be effectively ripped apart a little bit. And we're going to see the Lord Jesus coming with crowds and clouds of angels. Believe me, it's going to be glorious. It's not a press conference. What was it David Icke did? Got a press conference and everybody up and said he was the Savior. Come back again, didn't he? That's the last one in this country, I think. Many of you are too young to remember, but it won't be like that. Heaven itself will be visible to us on earth as the door to heaven, if you like, is open. And the Lord Jesus and his angels return. So watch out for pretenders. Many people are going to try and lead you astray. Don't let them. Secondly, there's going to be conflict in the nations, verses 9 to 11, and there's going to be persecution of the church of Christians, verses 12 to 19. And these signs are going on today. They've been going on since Jesus' day, and they're going on now. And you can trace them if you want to. The fact is, we can see that there have been wars and earthquakes, famines and pestilences, fearful events and great signs through the pages of history. And actually, sometimes that is the pages of history. And we actually tie different cultures together by the fact that a comet went through the sky. There's a great sign for you. And we find the Chinese dating method, and there's the comet. And we find the Western European dating method, and there's the comet, and there's the point that we can tie them together, and we can understand history by these great signs and events. They've been going on ever since. So is the persecution of the church. If you're one of God's people, this is a word of warning to you. It won't be an easy ride. There are people in the world today who say to Christians, you can have what you want and all you have to do is ask God for it. My friends, it's not like that. To be a believer is hard work. To be a believer is to know that people, sometimes even your own family, as it says here, will stand against you. Be warned. Be on your guard. If you're not part of the church, just think for a second. Wars, earthquakes, famines, pestilence, fearful events. Yes, they're going on, aren't they? Something's happening, what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. He's saying something's happening. Are you watching? Are you waiting? Are you ready? Are you thinking about what really is happening? This world is not all pretty and nice and easy. Big things are happening. Are you ready for big things? These things are going to carry on, we read, until he returns. They're part of the sinful world. But we read verses 18 and 19. Not a hair of your head will be lost. By your endurance, you gain your lives. There's an escape at the end. The Lord Jesus is coming back. He doesn't lose his people. Elsewhere in Scripture, we're promised that wars will cease. Peace will reign. This is what the Lord Jesus will bring back with him. The lion will lie down with the lamb. Even nature itself will be brought back into that glorious order from which it fell. Thirdly, we read in verses 20 through 24 of Jerusalem being destroyed. Now here is something we can track and we can say, actually, Jesus' warnings have come true, because if you want to, you can read histories of the day. Here's one. This is Josephus, a contemporary historian of the rebellion of the Jews and the fall of Jerusalem. He was there. He fought on, it's quite a remarkable story. You should read his story. He fought against the Romans and then became the pet historian of Caesar. Effectively rescued and kept as a great understander of the Jewish culture and a cataloguer and a historian of the Roman culture. And this is his works, his writings, translated, yes, into English. But you can read them. A contemporary account. Not a Christian. A Jew, if you like, gone over to Rome. Some would see him as a traitor. But a great historian, proved to be accurate, records the Lord Jesus. Records that these words of the Lord Jesus came true. History has proven, archaeology has proven that Jerusalem is gone. It was wiped out. This happened. It's true. So let's take nothing more from this except that we can say that the Lord Jesus' warnings came true. So let's pay more attention to the others. Persecution. Wars. False prophets. Finally, we read Jesus promises he's coming back. Verses 25 through to 28. The exact meaning is not clear, but it will be. You ever driven anywhere you've never been before? And you've got some directions? You're going down the road, and the first silver birch tree on the left, that our house is next to it, if you want to call that. That's the directions to get to our place as you come down Colchester Road. If you've never been down Colchester Road, you don't know what it looks like. But you get to the end of Colchester Road, and you turn down, you're a little bit nervous, and suddenly you see a silver birch tree. Oh, yeah, that's fine. I now know what it looks like, and you're there. Well, this is we don't know what this looks like because we're not there yet. This one hasn't happened. But we'll know when we get there. As we said before, when Jesus comes, we'll know. That's what the point of the fig tree is. Summer will be here and you'll know. People will faint from fear and expectation of things that are coming because the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But we're also told that we can stand up in that day. That even that day is not so fearful. We will be able to raise up our heads because our redemption is here. And we read also that this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. That's not talking about a generation in the number of 40 years. That's telling us really that this time will not change. This will carry on until the Lord returns. It's the same today, in a sense, as it was back then. The age has not changed. We often talk about Generation X, Generation Y. Where are we up to? Generation Z or something else, I forget. But changing very quickly. The Lord Jesus Christ has said, no, it's still the same. These things will carry on until I return, and I will deal with persecution, and I will deal with wars and all of that. And this section ends, be on your guard. I'm really glad that my son doesn't know the word dissipation and what it means. It's a word that means you spend your whole life wastefully, wasted, carousing in drink, worried about life, that everything will come on you unexpectedly and destroy you. Friends, be on your guard against these things, we're told. Be alert at all times. Be ready for the Lord's return. His promises and predictions have come true. I have no doubt that this one will come true. He's coming back. Are you ready? He's made it very clear how we are to follow him. It's not built idols of stone by our hands. It's not our strength. It's not our brain power. It's not our money. We need to hear his loving call. Follow me. Come to me. Let me be the rescuer. I'm the one who will bring peace. I'm the one who will bring justice. I'm the one who will make it all right. Are you ready for the Lord's return? His warnings are clear. His first coming, he came with love. We sing of love come down at Christmas. We read of the love he showed to people with his words and his warnings and his life full of kind actions and deeds. His second return, pictured here, he will come with justice. To wipe away all the sin and the sickness and the wars and all these difficult things we've read about. To take his people to be with him forever in eternity. Would you be ready for that day? Then trust in the Lord Jesus to be the one who will keep you. And talk to a Christian you know after this service and find out how you take the next steps in being ready for this great day. It will be a great day. Every eye will see him, and we will know justice and peace and wonder as those wars cease. Are you ready for the Lord's return?